think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, somehow we got on this damn CTE thing. All I want to do was make fun of Jim Irsay for being an idiot. But anyway, that little basketball talk, little just general talk down on the Facebook page about where people can park for House of Blues. Said park underneath Discovery Green and walk the four blocks. It's safe and covered. The only thing I don't know about is how much of that parking over there is going to be used because of Fan Fest and all the NCAA stuff. So I will make a full scouting report in the morning.
All right.
And see if I can find some places for people to park. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Well, a lot of people, Disco says, my kid's school, a lot of parents are pushing their kids into soccer instead of football because of head injury fears. I don't know why this hasn't come up more with soccer, but especially when you start getting beyond the high school levels, you see a lot of head-to-head contact guys going up for that. I mean, to me, that sport can be very dangerous. And, well, that's something that maybe Glenn Davis can talk about tonight on Soccer Matters at 7 o'clock. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
Well, last year they banned headers for kids under 10 in soccer to tone down the head injuries in soccer.
Like hitting the ball with your head?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that kind of makes sense because that's what happens. It's not intentional. You don't go trying to headbutt somebody.
Right.
But if you're both going up for a ball, it makes sense that you're going to have some collisions. So it's okay for 11-year-olds, but not 10-year-olds, right?
Correct. In U.S., you cannot head the ball when you're 10 or younger, according to U.S. soccer.
Alex said, my 9-year-old son got a concussion in taekwondo. Freaked me out at first. He didn't know what day it was, but he still wants to compete. Not going to tell him no. He just needs to protect better.
Yeah, don't get hit in the head.
I think where people aren't sympathetic is like, well, you kind of knew what you were getting into. Well, you never knew quite how bad it was until it's just you get more information. And is this really what we're going to do today? Mm. 330 says, I got 4 concussions playing soccer in high school.
I mean, it's possible to get concussions playing basketball. I mean, there's
yeah, it is.
Sport
it is. I mean, it's just football. It's going to be more likely because of all the contact. And Lamont mentioned, old boxers with slurred speech. You punch a guy in the face long enough, he's going to have problems. You keep getting punched in the head. And then John said, can you just blame the NFL? What about the NCAA and high school ball? I don't think you can just blame the NFL, but the other two are technically your choice. The NFL is your job. Now, you choose to play high school football. You choose to play college football. So, are they to blame? Yeah, but if you're getting to monetary stuff, I don't know. But, somebody just brought up ESPN did an E60 special about a player in his 20s who had Lou Gehrig's disease from taking too many headers in soccer. I remember that. I was watching that one Sunday morning.
Okay, are we
awful.
Sure that Lou Gehrig's disease comes from hitting soccer balls with your head?
Well, there's speculation that can cause ALS.
Okay, well.
I don't know if it's that. See, that I don't know.
Because I know a guy with ALS who's never hit a soccer ball with his head in his life. I would guess that Lou Gehrig didn't do a lot of soccer ball hitting with his head.
No, but they have found connections to some people with that disease and brain trauma. So, I don't know that. I think he blamed it on that, but I don't know that that's what it was. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I got two concussions listening to Reality Check. That's in one day, right?
Probably.
Oh, boy. All right. Marque said, wife played soccer in college, had to get stitches twice from butting heads going up for headers. Why does nobody ever talk about that?
I don't know.
I'm just curious. I mean, bang on the NFL and football. If you play sports, you're going to get hurt at some point. Just like if you drive in Houston, somebody's going to bash your car at some point. You know it. That's the chance you take. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Am I going to stop driving? No.
My dad did.
Did he?
Yeah, my dad doesn't want to drive anymore.
I don't want to drive. I do my best to avoid it at all costs now. I'll drive to appearances, but like friends will say, hey, man, come out to the Woodlands for this. Nope. I just, every time I get on the freeway, I think I'm going to get hit. Every time now.
Yeah.
So, and it's not because of me. I see how people drive. Let's mix it up a little. Are you a fan of Puddle of Mud?
No. That guy is so dumb.
Did you see the video of what happened in England?
No, I thought the guy was in jail.
No. They were playing a show. Actually, they were here not that long ago, or they were in Beaumont not that long ago.
Ugh.
But lead singer Wes Scantlin,
yeah,
was on stage.
Who's also got to be mentally handicapped some kind of way.
Well, he's got issues, but maybe he's got CTE.
He might.
He was at a show in Doncaster, England, and apparently he was drunk as hell, to the point that the entire band walked off the stage and left him sitting there.
That's what they got to do.
Yeah, he said he remained seated alone on stage, first pleading with his bandmates to join him back up there, then doing nothing much but sitting there as the house lights came up and the stagehand started breaking things down. Needless to say, the crowd was not pleased. Then again, it's Puddle of Mud.
Who's going to watch that show anyway? Like, who's paying money to go watch a Puddle of Mud show?
Well, it was in England. I just hope it wasn't those soccer hooligan guys, because that could have gotten ugly. But yeah, it used to be, in the old rock and roll days, if you were drunk on stage, it was kind of cool. But I think at this point, when you're a 90s alt band that probably lucky that people are still going to see you, maybe you don't want to do that.
Shannon says wrong on his sport, or on high school sport participation. Is that not a thing now where you can only play one sport per season?
I don't know.
No, that's just what I had heard. Now I don't know if that's true or not. I'm making things up, but that is what I heard. I might have some lying educators in my family.
Let's grab Omar. What's up, Omar?
Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, I just wanted to give my opinion on these NFL players and the NFL in general. Why don't they settle with the players that they felt lied to or deceived? And why don't they just make new players coming in? And I guess the NCAA can do the same thing. Why don't they just make them sign a waiver saying, hey, this can happen, it's CTE, it's a possibility, and make the players responsible for the outcome or the possibility that can happen to them.
So you're saying, why don't NFL owners now pay hundreds of millions of dollars to players that never played for them but just happened to play in the NFL at some point? You're asking billionaires to just give up a bunch of money to guys that they don't know from Adam because they played a game that a different owner probably owned the team at that point. For most of these guys, they're just not going to do it. Rich guys stay rich because they don't give away their money. And these guys aren't looking to give away tons of money to guys that they don't feel they're responsible for those decisions.
But to the other point, new guys come in. Yeah.
I don't understand why they're not doing that. Yeah. I mean, they should let them know, hey, this is a possibility.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Zach says he went and watched the show in Beaumont. He was so bleeped up that he forgot the words to more than one song. And then somebody else says it's the third time this has happened this year, and it's only March. That's probably not a good sign.
Shame.
Yeah.
Stop going to that guy's shows.
Yeah, I think let's we might need a blitzer intervention here. Don't go see Puddle of Mud. How's that?
You guys are smarter than that.
Yeah. I don't think there's a ton of blitzers going to see them. Unless there was somebody else on the card that they wanted to see.
Like, what respectable band is like, yeah, let's go on tour with Puddle of Mud?
Crickets. I don't know. Hey, we were talking about Coach K last week and him talking to that kid.
Uh-huh.
Did you see that apparently this isn't the first time he's done it? That
he's talked to other people's players.
Yeah, that he's told a guy to not celebrate after a loss.
No.
Apparently it also happened in 2007 against Virginia Tech. So Xavier Dowdell, who had 20 points and 5 steals, said after the game, Coach K scolded him for celebrating. He just told me, I'm too classy of a guy to be carrying on like that. Sounds familiar, huh?
Yeah.
Popped his jersey in front of the Cameron Crazies. So,
The difference is Xavier Dowdell isn't that good of a player.
Right. Right. But he's too classy.
He's too classy.
He's too classy.
Dylan Brooks is too good of a player.
Right. But he was too classy.
Gotcha.
And, of course, a reporter asked him about it and said, I understand you did speak to Xavier Dowdell about how he was celebrating. Krzyzewski said, no, I just congratulated him. I respect the heck out of him.
He's
a great
liar.
Kid, enough said. He was fabulous. That's the main message that was made.
He's such a liar.
Yeah, he's just going to lie. And people let him get away with it because he's Coach K.
Ugh. I like that guy less and less every day.
Yeah. Guy's a great coach. But
yeah, he is.
As a human being, you can keep him. And that's most of these guys, man.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys about Dirt Free. And if you've found yourself in a position where you think you're going to have to replace your carpets, you've probably done some research and you realize that, man, that's an expensive process. It's going to take up a lot of your time. It's going to take a lot of effort. Well, here's a way you can keep your carpets looking new, no matter how long you've had it. Dirt Free extends the life of your carpet so you can go longer without replacing it. I did that with my house in Austin. I thought I was going to have to tear up the floors and replace everything. But then one call to Dirt Free, they were out there. I was amazed at what they could do. They're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professionals. They don't use soaps or chemicals. It'll damage your carpet fibers long term. They've got a non-toxic patented pre-spray along with super water. And that technology combined with their truck-powered equipment, that's what sets them apart. Once the stains are gone, they're not coming back like the other guys. And they'll clean any surface. Sunday service now available. Start the new year with a brand new look and feel of clean carpets. They've got a great deal going right now. 3 rooms for just $99.95 with a free speed dry to the first 25 callers that mention my name. Call 281-347-8373. That's 281-347-8373. Or visit Dirt Free online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Your number is 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Man, I wish people would let me just do my radio show. Where the hell are we going here? Oh, I have this Oklahoma thing that I wanted to do. Remember we talked about how cool it was that they made the Final Four in both?
Yeah.
They actually kind of put it in historical context on how many schools have had this good of a season in both sports. Obviously, Florida is the gold standard because they won a national championship in football,
right,
and then won the national championship basketball in the next time around. The only other ones that even come close, 1998 and 99, Ohio State finished number 2 in football and reached the Final Four. And Florida, one other time, finished 5th and reached the Final Four. And Michigan was number 5 and number 6 in football. And they reached the NCAA Tournament Championship games the following spring both times.
Okay.
That's about it.
That doesn't happen often.
No, it is pretty amazing. And some of the ones they talk about coming close really weren't that close. Like they mentioned Kansas in 2007 and 8. Well, they won in 2008 in basketball. And they were number 7 in football. Well, that wouldn't have got you anywhere near a 4-team playoff. Same thing with Texas, 2002, 2003. Number 9 in football, made the Final Four. And Oklahoma in 2001-2002, 10th in football, Final Four. So those aren't really close. So it's just not that – I mean, this is pretty rare for a school to do this well in both things. So pat yourself on the back, Oklahoma. I rarely say nice things about anything Oklahoma.
I never do.
I know. You never do. I rarely do.
I refuse to.
So for those of you who say I never say anything nice about Oklahoma, this is your one day.
I'm accepting Oklahoma this year, this basketball team, because I like that team. And my beer guy at HEB is an OU guy. So I'm just for him because he helps me out. So that's the only reason. Otherwise, I would normally crap on OU. OU football, no way.
That hate for my school, Duke, is strong on this show.
No one's hating on Duke.
No.
We're just hating on your lying coach,
yeah.
Who, by the way, lied.
Yeah. And after we said probably the greatest coach in college basketball history, can't take away anything he's done on the court, nor should you. Scumbag. That's every coach, okay? Any coach that's going to win at a high level in college basketball is a scumbag. They're cheating. They're doing all kinds of stuff. They have to. That's just.
Was that a text that you got?
Yeah, it's a text.
Okay.
Why?
I was just thinking. Chances are good when he says my school, Duke. He's a Duke fan.
Yeah, because there's.
I don't know anybody who goes to Duke. They just cheer for the basketball team.
Yeah, there's that alumni base isn't that.
It's tiny.
Yeah. So.
And nobody who's smart enough to graduate from Duke is listening to this show. I can promise you that.
Probably not. 713-780-ESPN. But, yeah. And it's Duke. You should be used to it by now.
Yeah.
Everybody hates you. Remember, I thought this was kind of interesting. Remember Russ Smith, the Louisville guy?
Yeah.
Pretty good player.
Very good player. Very good college player.
Yeah. He's in the D League right now.
Okay.
Last week, he set a record for most points in a D League game.
Really?
What would you say the over-under would be on most points in a D-League game? And his team lost, by the way.
Do they play the same amount of is it the same length of game?
I think it is, yeah. But I will just say this. The final score was 140 to 129.
Oh, my.
His team lost 140 to 129. He only made one three-pointer.
Oh, okay. That changes things. I'm going to go with 66 points.
Damn close. 65 points.
Oh, I would have rather missed it by five.
I know. 24 of 43 from the floor, and he only made one three-pointer, but he put up 65 points for the Delaware 87ers, which I don't have any idea what that means, but okay. So that's your scoring record now for the D-League. So you have a target now, John, when you get in the D-League?
John's not going to the D-League. He's living the life. He's
65 points.
He's not trying to get that CTE by going to the NBA. John, are you playing in the media three-point contest?
That happened today, actually.
Oh. Did anybody from our station do it?
Fred Davis did it, and Mike Pearson did it.
How'd they do?
Mike Pearson said he finished fifth, I think. And
that's
Fred
pretty solid.
Yeah, Fred Davis didn't do so well.
Oh, no.
Apparently.
Where was Raheel?
He was on air.
Oh.
Apparently Fred Davis came in tied for dead last, hit one shot.
Oh, no.
And according to Pearson, slammed his phone on the ground after.
This is college range threes, right?
He slammed his phone on the ground?
It's at the Barry Center, so I think it's a high school range. Because college, they moved it back a little bit, so I think it's high school range.
That's an embarrassing performance for Freddie D.
But you don't throw your phone over it.
No. But
you just get a shame bell.
I once had to do a three-point contest for the Austin Toros when I was doing radio in Austin.
Yeah.
And that's NBA threes. And I hit 3 out of 15. And I won the contest of the people I was competing against, but 3 out of 15 is not good by any stretch. But you also have to kind of you have to force that shot. Like, you have to push that shot to make it there.
Yeah.
An NBA three is no joke if you're not used to shooting on it.
The only ones that aren't are the corner threes because they're basically the same. But, well, you get out.
Which I'm pretty sure is the only place I made them from.
Yeah. But I would have focused on those and gone slower there to make sure.
But on a high school or even a college court, I feel like that's to only make one is a little bit embarrassing.
Do you know where?
Shame bell.
Do you want to know where the 87ers got their name?
No, I don't care about that.
Okay. I'm going to tell you anyway.
Oh. Of course you are, because he looked it up. He has
yes,
to, right?
Yes, I did. Okay. So the 87ers started out as the Utah Jazz franchise. They were the Utah Flash in 2007. And in 2013, the 76ers acquired them, moved into Delaware, and they named them the 87ers because the Constitution was written in 1787.
Okay. I'm so glad you told me about that, John.
Or it was the first state to ratify the Constitution in 1787.
All right, then.
What do you think, Fred? Are you happy about that?
Not really.
No. It was terrible, John. Thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing.
You're welcome.
Ronnie asked, what about 05-06 Texas? Number one football, number one baseball, and lost the Elite Eight in overtime. Well, first off, baseball.
College baseball doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count for the purposes of this discussion.
Sport.
And making the Final Four in basketball was a starting point. So, no. 7-1-3.
Fred's not playing that game.
Nope. Nice try. So, who wound up winning? Do we know who won the three-point contest?
Hold on. Let me see. Pearson actually texted me a photo of it. It was some guy named Josh.
No, Josh Innes.
Josh and Cody were the two finalists.
And we don't know last names on those?
No, they wrote it down on a notebook paper and just put the first name.
So you're saying
the
this was a really professionally done project here?
Unless they kept it on a different piece of paper.
Okay.
But Josh and Cody. Josh in the finals hit 12, Cody hit 10, 9. And to get to the finals, Cody hit 11 and Josh hit 9.
Okay, I would not have been able to do that.
Yeah, Pearson hit 3. And
on a high
finished
school?
Fifth.
It's possible.
I could do 5 or 6, I'm pretty sure. By the last round, I wouldn't be able to. I'm too old.
I need shoulder surgery, I would have done really terribly.
I could still shoot threes, but I'm still ridiculously streaky.
I'm a terrible shooter. I'm not much of a... I'm like a Dwight Howard. My game is kind of that 3 feet and in. That's where I like to play. I don't really like to shoot the ball. I like to rebound and try to hit people on defense.
See, I basically all I kind of do now is hang around the three-point line and jack up shots.
No, I would hate playing with you.
I pass the ball. If you're open, I'll pass you the ball.
I don't want the ball. I just want you to take good shots, not three-point shots.
There are good shots.
You're an old man. No, you just said you can't make them.
Well, I can't make them like I used to, but I can still make them. And you've seen the analytics. A three is better than a long two. Every time. 469 says...
All right, analytics guy.
I'm just going by what Daryl Morey says. Right. And you guys all worship Daryl Morey, right?
Yeah, tell me about his championship.
Hey, Dwight Howard says he's always
he
going to
a
be
champion.
A champion.
That's true.
I listen every day on my treacherous journey from the Galleria to Katy. Also had a full academic scholarship to Duke. So, all right, we do a Duke listener.
Well, there you go.
What do y'all have against college baseball?
College baseball's stupid. End of discussion.
I have nothing against it.
End of discussion. It's stupid.
It's not stupid. It's just a niche sport. All right, so apparently those were both guys from 6'10". That, according to Lamont.
I don't know their names. I don't know anybody named Josh or Cody that works there. Mm. Good for them.
Yeah, congratulations.
Bad performance by our station.
Yeah, well, we needed Raheel's probably. Well, I don't know if Raheel's really a 3-point shooter.
He better be. He's tiny.
Bunin.
Yeah. Why didn't he play?
Yeah, exactly.
Why I wasn't invited? I didn't know about this.
You really weren't invited.
I'm a one-tool player. It's the only thing I can do.
Man,
you'll have to represent us next year.
I would love to. When's the Rockets media game?
I have no idea.
I don't know. We haven't played in that in a while.
Yeah.
I can play.
They quit.
You can kill people.
They quit inviting us.
Yeah.
No, I would love to do that. I think we could put together a pretty good group here.
Tell me, Zhang doesn't like me anymore. I don't know what happened.
It's because you're a 1560 guy.
Yeah, Josh, and you never called him back after that night.
Josh is Josh Beard, and Cody is Cody Stutes. I don't think I've met either of those guys. Oh, I may have met them in the press box. I don't know them.
Hmm. All right. We are going to take a very quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Right now, it is time for Houston Chronicle columnist Jerome Solomon, one of the best in the country. That's official. Follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Jerome, why weren't you in this three-point contest?
Wouldn't have been fair.
No, that's true.
I'm too good for that. The slam dunk competition, you know, maybe some other guys will have a shot.
Are you saying you could have beat Freddie Davis?
Blindfolded, shooting backwards with one hand.
Well, apparently he only made one shot, so I'm guessing you probably could have. Although, I don't know, the last time you and I were on the same basketball court, your Achilles exploded, so I don't know.
But I was blowing by somebody at the time, though, right?
I don't really remember. We actually weren't playing you guys at the time. You were on a different court. Somebody just walked over and said your buddy Jerome just blew up his Achilles.
That was when I was dumb enough to think I could, you know. I still had the same game, but my body wasn't the same. It was like, hey, man, what are you doing out here? You haven't played in a while. What's your problem?
Yeah, you just rolled out there kicking everybody's butt, and the next thing you know, terrible.
Party was over. And I've retired.
Well, I'm almost there, man. I'm too old for this crap. So
every time I try to talk myself into coming back, I talk myself out of it. Thank God.
Yeah, because how long was that recovery time?
Way too long. It was over a year. It was ridiculous. I was falling downstairs and I couldn't. It was horrible.
That's why you.
So every time I read about an athlete with Achilles, trust, I can show you messages from athletes who had torn Achilles, and they all treat me like I'm in the same fraternity. They're like, my man, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, because we sat around almost in tears, even just discussing how bad it was. It's much worse than most injuries, for sure.
Well, make sure that you use that as an excuse for why you hurt yourself gardening.
Well, it's all connected, you know. These are all the same muscles.
So what do you think of this Final Four, man?
Actually, it's pretty good. I mean, it's and by far much better than the one we had a few years ago. So you got a blue blood in North Carolina, a big-time program. The worst seed is Syracuse. And let me say this. None of these teams are great, but it doesn't matter. It's about how good will the games be. And I think these teams are kind of evenly matched. And Syracuse is a name school with a name coach. You got the best player. How often do you get to the Final Four where the best player shows up in Oklahoma's Buddy Hill? And he's not just the best player. He's a great college player, not just a good one. So it's this should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
How do you think it's going to play out? If I stuck a gun to your head and say predict this, or I'm going to crush your Achilles again?
I have no idea. I mean, I think North Carolina is the best overall team. But I think any of these teams could win in any of these games because, like I said, I don't think it'd ever be that good. I think you drop any one of these teams into some of the Final Fours we've had, you know, take them back 10 years and further back. I don't know if any of them are a championship-caliber team, but they don't have to win those championships. They have to win this one. I just don't know. I root for North Carolina getting there because they are number one seed. They were preseason number one. And Oklahoma getting there in the final because they have the best player, and let them light it up, play real basketball, the best we can get out of college basketball at, you know, college basketball level, and let's have some fun. So I'm rooting for great games and great stories. I have no idea how it's going to play out. So most likely it's going to be Villanova and Syracuse, and the final will be, you know, 61-58.
Oh, Syracuse won't be in that final. There's no way. Hey, what are your thoughts on Buddy Hield as a pro?
He can shoot. And in this day and age and the way the game is being played now, if you can shoot, you can play. Now, I will say this, and people seem to be ignoring it in a certain way. He's learned how to shoot. He wasn't always a shooter. The dude made, four NCAA tournament games now. He's made 19 three-pointers.
Yeah.
That's how many three-pointers he made as a freshman. So all those fake-ass stories and Collinger here and all the ooh, this is a guy that goes up against the one-and-done thing. No, he averaged 7 points a game as a freshman.
He's gotten better. He's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, he has a decision to make. So,
well, did we lose Jerome?
We lost Jerome. That same tunnel, huh?
That must be.
That tunnel's out to get everybody.
I keep saying, you know, the guy's a 6'3 shooting guard. It's an uphill battle. But that guy, you talk about a dude who's upped his stock in the last year more than anyone could have possibly imagined. I mean, he went from being a second-round pick at best to he might go in the top five. I wouldn't take him in the top five, but he might go in the top five.
All right.
I think that you're kind of betting against history if you take that guy top five, because, again, he's a 6'3 shooting guard, and that just doesn't happen very often. But that guy is – kudos to him for upping his stock to that point.
Yeah, where I got dropped off? Where did I get cut off at?
Talking about how he's kind of – he wasn't this from the beginning. He worked his way to this.
Yeah, guy averaged like 7 points a game as a freshman. He wasn't a one-and-done guy. He was a none-and-done guy at that point. And so he's improved dramatically, and you give him credit for that. Is it real, and is it sustainable? That's a good question. I mean, he shoots 10 percentage points higher on three-pointers this year than he did last year. So, yeah, if he continues to do that, no, he's going to be a great player. And I did just hear you now saying you would take him top five or whatever, but that means you're going to draft some other guys who you think are going to be better. That's why Steph Curry went as late as he did.
You're right.
People were taking chances on other guys as opposed to, well, I know this guy can shoot. I know he'll make shots. Take the guy that you know can do what he can do. And, buddy, he has the, you know, that Dwayne Wade kind of body. He's not as physical and doesn't have the handles that Wade has. So he's not that great of a player. But you don't have to be Dwayne Wade to be really good based on the other guys in the draft. I like him a lot.
He also does have some defensive liabilities projected to the next level.
And so do most guys coming out of college. Yeah. He is a guy with defensive liabilities, but he's not a guy with a bad attitude.
No, I agree with that.
It's the guy who thinks he's too cool to play defense.
Who are you talking about?
Long beard or something. You know, those kind of guys are the ones you got to worry about. It's not the guy who's not a great defensive player, but he cares. You know, I'm not naming any names. I'm just saying.
Right. Are you getting excited for the Astros yet?
Yeah, we have to. I mean, they had a great season last year. They should be better. They're young. They should all be improving. You know, and I keep saying it's baseball, so we don't know what's going to happen. But, yeah, we should be as excited about this Astros team as we've been about an Astros team since going into the 2005 season. Even in 06, after they went to the World Series in 05, we knew, they need a lot of things to fall in place. And, guys are older, et cetera, et cetera. This team is, has more promise than all of those teams. Will they live up to it? We don't know, but that's where the excitement comes in, that you look forward to seeing what they can do, because they got a lot of pieces to a really good team. And if they perform up to their capability and, have a little luck along the way, they could certainly win it all. And, of course, they could win, 84 games and not even make the playoffs. Yeah. But that's baseball.
What do you think of Tyler White at first base and Singleton going down? It seemed like it was Singleton's job to lose, which obviously he did. That seems to be the one question mark, really, right now in the lineup is first base. From what you've seen of him and what you've heard guys tell you about, what can people expect?
That was the question mark last year. So, that position could put them into a dominant run over the next how many ever years. You know what I mean? It's that position and their closer spot that could make the difference. They've potentially got a new big-time closer, and Gregerson is still there. So you've got a setup man and a closer, or vice versa, depending on how you use them. So you should have that covered. If they had a legitimate first baseman, they could make a run. And Singleton has all of the tools, has demonstrated it all at every level except for the real one, except for when the money's on the line at the pro level, and just there's nothing you can do, and you got to wait on the kid to get ready. I mean, I think Tyler White, he's fine. He's, you know, he had a great spring, but, you know, this is spring. If spring meant something during the season, you know, baseball would be a completely different sport. It's not. Can you do that long term? Can you do that against pitchers who are seeing you every day, who are seeing you three times a game instead of a once a game, et cetera, against the best of the best? I'm not saying he can't. There's no way you can assume that he will. And, you know, I would not be surprised if White isn't the first baseman, you know, by June. But it doesn't matter. They need production from that spot wherever they get it from. And I think Singleton will get one more shot. You know, because he's so good at the lower level, I think he'll light it up and he'll go, man, bring him up and give him a couple of weeks and see what he does. And every time they've done that, he showed up and did nothing. And so it's nobody's fault but his that he hasn't delivered.
That's Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist. Jerome, as always, appreciate the time, my friend, and we will talk to you again soon.
All right, fellas. Later.
One thing I do like about White, I don't think he's – I think it's Reed's job eventually, but he doesn't strike out nearly as much as everyone else on this roster, which they really need that kind of bat. 713-780-ESPN is your number.
And we'll see if A.J. Reed shows that he's ready. You know, if A.J. Reed lives up to his potential in the first couple months of the season, he'll take that job. If he scuffles, then he might not come up until September.
And we'll also find out if they don't have one of the young guys ready, if they're willing to make a move.
Yeah, some money. That'll depend on where they're at that point. You know.
Steven says, I've lost to me in one-on-one basketball a couple times. Shame Bell. Yeah, but, dude, you're 5'1". It's kind of, no offense, but it's just easy whenever I need a basket, just post up. So that doesn't really count. All right, quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. The official ESPN 97.5 app is now available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5. in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. Let's give something away. It's been kind of cool watching from my balcony and then putting up all the stuff for FanFest and at the George R. There's a Ferris wheel there now, in case you were curious.
I wasn't, but okay.
Yeah. But I'm going to give away two tickets to the people because they're curious. I don't know if to get you on the Ferris wheel or not, but... you're going to win two tickets to the Interactive Sports Extravaganza NCAA Final Four Fan Fest at the George R. Brown, Friday, April 1st through Monday, April 4th. It includes basketball courts for exhibitions and fan games, three-on-three tournaments, and special appearances with former NCAA players and coaches, as well as other sports personalities, topped off with the fun-filled atmosphere. Ticketing is family-friendly. For more information, log on to ncaa.com/Final Four. Caller 14.
All right.
You are going to FanFest.
A lot of people asking if Buddy Hield, well, one guy asking, a lot of people asking about Buddy Hield, but one guy asked if he could be a point guard. I don't think so. I think that he's not. The problem for Buddy Hield really is the shooting isn't a question.
Right.
He's the best shooter in college basketball, and it's not a discussion. The problem is he's small and slow, and not relative to, you know, you and me, but to his peers, to NBA twos, he's small and slow. And being slow compared to NBA twos, if you're a point guard, that's not going to help. I think there's a lot of people who want to compare him to Steph Curry. They're not the same kind of player. They're both fantastic shooters, but Steph Curry's a lot more comfortable handling the ball. He just doesn't have that ability to put the ball on the floor. You know, I don't know if again, I feel like I'm not trying to crap on him because he's so fantastic at what he does.
But we're talking about him as a pro player.
As a pro player, he's not for me. That said, this guy came through at the perfect time. His stock, for him to have this run that he's had in over the last 3-4 weeks, couldn't have come at a better time.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we've talked about some goofy things going on college campuses and how they're way too politically correct.
Yeah.
Did you see this thing that happened at Emory College?
No.
All right. Emory University's student government has announced that it's deploying emergency student funds in response to an outbreak of pro-Donald Trump chalk around campus.
Oh, I did see this.
Which many students claim was triggering and damaging to their psychological well-being. All right. You know, I'm no Trump fan, but really it's damaging your well-being. Came one day after several dozen student protesters demonstrated outside the administration building asking why the school had responded quickly after swastikas were drawn on a Jewish house, but hadn't reacted similarly to support for Trump. They called on the university's president to have the school officially denounce Trump and his on-campus supporters. He declined to do so, but did send out a campus-wide email pledging to improve social justice work on campus.
I can't even tell you how tired I am of hearing about Donald Trump.
Well, I know, but it's not like they were writing anything offensive. And for these idiots to compare it to swastikas, it was just chalk. It's chalk. It's what you put on a blackboard. You don't like it? You know what? Throw some water on it. It'll go away.
Yeah.
It included phrases such as build the wall and accept the inevitable, Trump 2016. And yet you're comparing it to putting swastikas on it.
It's very similar.
Yeah. And I'm as sick of Trump as the next guy. But you know what? By the way, you overly sensitive, hyper-liberal little dickweeds. You ever heard of free speech? You know what? If you don't like it, go put a Bernie Sanders statement out there. Go write in chalk. Feel the burn. Go do it. Well-being, my ass. And you want us to pay for your college with crap like this? No, thank you. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I probably should have saved that for my Hey Man Bleep That, huh?
Oh, I've got one.
I know you've got a good one, so I don't think I can come up with one that's going to win today.
I'm so pissed.
Which I think I just did the giveaway, didn't I? I totally forgot.
You gave away our prize?
I'll see if we have any more for
tomorrow. I'm sure
we do.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, well. It's Tuesday.
All right. Guys, I got to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter. If you found yourself in trouble with the law, accused of DWI, happens to the best of us, man. Even if you failed the breath or blood test, remember, those tests, they're not gospel. There's a lot of problems, a lot of flaws with the science behind those tests. They're inaccurate. They're unreliable machines. Most states have abandoned the machines that we use here in Texas because it's just old technology. Failing these tests, it's not the end of the world. Juries are smart. They're going to notice the problems with these machines. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist right here in Houston, one of only 4 board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state. And guys, what that means is he's experienced in telling the truth about the science involved here, and he's experienced in talking to juries about this, going to trial. A lot of lawyers will take DWI cases. Very few have trial experience. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, you need to call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.